From the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here for Dave Bourne. Dave is off this week. We wish him well. Hope he's having a great holiday week with his family. So I'm going to go off script here a little bit and talk about some things we don't usually talk about here at Newsmakers. At least I don't. I stay away from most of the national stuff. We talk about local issues, local city councils, local county commissioners, local entrepreneurs. And as I'm fond of saying, ideas, institutions, individuals, and initiatives. So today I've got Hunter here with me running the board. I can't hear myself, by the way, so I hope you can. And I am going to go off script a little bit. And today give some advice to Democrats. I have the solution, and some of you may not want me to give the advice because you know it's going to be true, and if they could figure out, then they may be able to do something about it. So, all right, so my advice to Democrats. I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been crafting this whole essay in my head, and I'm going to give it to you folks first. All right? So how – do you ever go through the course of the day and you watch the news and – and you think, well, why can't the Democrats figure this out? Why are they running these people for president? So I'm going to tell them right now. Call your Democrat friends if you're not a Democrat. Turn up the volume if you are a Democrat, because I'm going to tell you how to get elected and beat Donald Trump. I'm going to tell you. It's going to be easy. Number one, run a person for president who say they're going to take the interest of Americans, American taxpayers, American workers, and the American economy first in every decision they make. Let me repeat that, because that is that's the crux of it, folks. Run a person in your party who's going to prioritize Americans, the workers, the taxpayers, the citizens, and the American economy. They're going to prioritize them first in every decision they make. Folks, to a lot of voters, approximately 53 million voters, that's what we thought President Trump was saying. Right? America first. It's not a hard concept. It's not El Salvadorian, Guatemalan refugees first. It's not the feelings of Angela Merkel in Germany first. It's not NATO's concern first. It's not ruffling the feathers in South Korea first. It's what's good for America. When it comes to our trade imbalance and our trade deals, America should come first, not the other country, not how can we help the economy of the other country, right? We're going to swing back to this. We're going to swing back to this because I hear my friends who are always angry at Trump, right? The Trump haters. And they're like, well, you know, he's made our NATO allies mad. And I'm like, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. Well, you know, I'm not. He shouldn't make them mad. I said, You know what he's doing? He's reaching into their pockets instead of reaching further into the American taxpayers' pockets. So when he says, hey, South Korea, I want you to pay more towards your defense. And I'm pro-South Korea. I'm pro-supporting South Korea's defense. But President Trump wants them to pay more, and they run around like crazy saying, well, where'd he pick that number? He just made that number up, and he's making them mad, and he's ruffling the feathers of our allies, and he's destroying our relations, and blah, bitty, blah, diddy, blah, diddy, blah. This is how the man negotiates. Anyway, I'm going off tangent. That's what you need, Democrats. You need a person who says when they're going to talk to China, they're not going to be concerned with the Chinese economy. They're going to be concerned with the American economy. Number two. Stop whining about Trump. How about that? I had this discussion over the holidays. Hunter, did you have any discussions with people who might be more liberal than you?
No open discussions, you know, the occasional jabs here and there.
So in my family, we have a certain subset of people that don't like any conflict whatsoever. So they don't want political discussions happening. And And the one person shows up who, you know, is not my president person, right? But I had a decent conversation with him. I don't mind debating. I don't mind logically in a calm tone of voice just explain, well, I give you that, but what about this? And here's the point I made. You guys are you people, can, which we're not supposed to say, the people on the left, the Trump haters, they're running around like their hair is on fire. You can just picture this with their arms up in the air screaming about Trump, about emoluments and how much he exaggerates and offensive tweets. And I'm like, this is not helping your party. This is not helping. Nobody cares about the emoluments. Oh, they don't know what it means. Yes, they know what it means. You just said that the other side, the voters on the other side are stupid. They know what it means. And because you've been bashing us over the head with it for 3 years, and they know what it means, they don't care. America does not care about some hotel room nights. Really? But talking about the leader of the free world, you think he's more rich because he's the president or less rich because he's the president? This is crazy. The emoluments in the Constitution. And I'm like, you're just grasping at straws and you're beating us over the head with something America does not care. They don't care. Second, Trump exaggerates. We all know he exaggerates. Don't you know somebody? I've got a member in my circle, Hunter. Everything is, oh, it's the worst movie ever. I got the best haircut ever on the face of the planet. You know, everything they speak in superlatives.
It's a way of, making everything they do extra important. Because my haircut is the greatest thing ever. I do it in my bathroom with a razor,
But that's the thing, is that's how Trump talks. Have you not figured that out? They're running around with their hair on fire, with their arms waving in the air, said, he lied, let's count his lies. We need to count us. Do you know how many times he's lied? And okay, so was his crowd for the inauguration the biggest ever, the largest crowd ever? No, and who cares? You still care. Stop whining. Talk about something that's material. And his offensive tweets, what are you going to do? You don't have to teach any of us what his tweets say. You don't have to tell us whether or not they're offensive. You don't have to whine and whine. It just doesn't make him look good. That is not helping you get elected. So, Democrats, run a person who's going to take America's needs first. Gosh, why is that so hard for you? You're starting to stop playing into his playbook. So now he's the victim, and we get it. You know, you guys don't even, you've just heard 3 hours of Rush Limbaugh show, guest hosted, but what have you, and you're going to hear the national scale, but clearly you have made him the victim of your bullying. And now to the point where it doesn't even matter if you're right, because you keep bludgeoning about things that America doesn't care, and we can add to that his tax returns. We're going to take our first break and come back. I'm not done. Because if the Democrats are listening, I can explain to them how you can win the presidency in 2020. Brent DeHart, Salem, Oregon, KYKN, I know it, and you don't. Stick with us. I'm here with Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Dave Bourne is off this week. So thanks for joining us. Sorry if we had some technical difficulties at the top of the hour. I am spending a little time, since I'm not supervised by Dave, and he's not here to control me. So I am going to, we're going off script today. I'm explaining to the Democrats how to win the presidency in 2020. It's a pretty simple platform. It's a pretty simple directions to follow. Unfortunately, it probably doesn't include anybody who's currently at the podium for the Democrats. It starts with taking the interest of America's first. I watched that movie about, it's a Spike Lee movie, about the black FBI agent that infiltrated the KKK. And I don't remember what it's called. Oh. But at the end of this are scenes of riots and protests and people with signs and everything. And it's clear that Spike Lee wants you as the movie watcher, to associate America First and Make America Great Again to be equivalent to KKK. I mean, it's blatant and it's not hidden. It's like America First means white supremacy. Make America Great Again means make America white again. And they're equate. They're the same thing. Well, they're not. This is not helping. We're talking about the chief executive of our country making decisions that benefit Americans, American economy, American worker, American taxpayer, right? The American citizen, American servicemen and women, and so forth. So, all right, that's how you win. You run a person that comes up. All they have to do is mimic Trump. Hey, I'm going to take America's interests first. You need to stop whining about Trump because it makes you look like a whiner, especially about things that most people don't care about. We don't care if people are staying in Mar-a-Lago. They don't care if people are staying in a Trump hotel in Scotland. We don't care. Emoluments. He's benefiting. And this is what the Constitution says, so he should be removed. Well, I think the Constitution was talking about like getting gold bars from Saudi Arabia in exchange, you know, to the president in exchange for jets or something. I mean, really? Some room nights. That's the business he's in, people. Oh, it's a yawner, Hunter. It's a yawner. The other one I don't care about? His tax returns. You know what? Democrats. The voters didn't care. Trump figured that out. We don't care. I don't care. This is what I assume about Trump's tax returns. One, he makes a lot of money. Two, it's probably not as much money as he says he makes because he's an exaggerator. Three, he pays as few taxes as possible. And there are so many write-offs. And if there is an ability, something in our stack ceiling high of a tax code that allows him to take a depreciation or an amortization or whatever to finagle to pay as few taxes as possible, I believe that Donald Trump and his CPAs are paying as few taxes as possible.
Well, but what do you always hear is here is somebody who did his taxes as a businessman, looked for every loophole, looked for anything, any donation that would help. You know, he wasn't a career politician doing taxes, showing, oh, look, I paid way more than I needed to because I'm such a great person. You know, he went with the business aspect.
Right. I don't care. I don't care what the tax returns say. I don't care if he makes $100 million a year. I don't care if he makes $1 billion a year. I don't care if the tax return says that he lost money. Because if you're investing in heavily leveraged in real estate, a lot of times you lose money on the books when it comes to your tax returns. I don't care. Drop it. You're screaming like he shouldn't be president because we didn't read his tax returns. It's ridiculous. Between the Mueller thing for 3 years, the hotels, you know, the strippers that, hey, did we think he was a moral man when we elected him? I don't know. It's just, they stop whining. Stop whining. You're playing into his playbook. He's going to be the victim from now till November, and you're still doing it. It is not working. You know what you should be doing, Democrats? This is Brent DeHart, by the way, with Hunter in for Dave today. What you should be doing, Democrats, is search for the reasons that 53 million people voted for him. You want to believe that every one of them is a white supremacist racist. It's not true. And intellectually, you know it's not true. Stop pretending that Trump was elected by white supremacists and racists. Stop it. Stop it. That's crazy. You need to find out what resonated with the voters because you're not saying it. Democrats, do you want to get elected? Do you not want to get elected? Trump got elected. Why don't you figure out why 53 million people voted for him instead of trying to convince those 53 million people that they were wrong and Trump's a terrible person and a terrible president and needs to be removed? That can start by stop calling everyone deplorables. I'm convinced, Hunter, I don't know about you, a basket of deplorables cost Hillary Clinton the presidency.
Oh, yeah, that turned off so many people. I mean, you're talking middle America. You're literally saying, I care about the rich and the poor, and everyone else is no matter to me.
It reminds me a lot, actually, of our current governor saying that the days in which rural Oregon's economy made a difference in the state are long gone. Wow. All right. So Democrats figure out why they voted for them. And a lot of us see this as the voters wanting to give the middle finger to Washington. It's like, we're going to send somebody who's going to maybe be unqualified, underexperienced in this kind of job, but they hate you in Washington. Figure out why. They don't spend any soul searching figuring out why people voted for Trump. If you don't get it and you think it's the worst thing ever, look in the mirror and try to determine why somebody voted, because you know what? They're not all white supremacists and racists. Not like they don't exist in America, but they do. There's not 53 million of them people. Why did they vote for him?
Well, and when you accuse it, you're just adding more people, because who wants to believe that their grandfather or grandmother or mother or brother voted for Trump because they're a racist? I mean, that's ridiculousness.
It is. All right. So here's the thing. You keep working backwards, and I'm talking to the Democrats now, and hopefully this will get broadcast to everybody who's running for president on the Democratic ticket. Stop calling the deplorables racists, misogynists, xenophobes, homophobes, and haters. What you're doing is you're driving moderates to Trump. You are driving moderates to Trump. I have family members, I have friends that did not vote for Trump last time, but this time they want to vote for Trump because they have learned to hate you. They have learned to hate being called a racist because you believe in some sort of rational immigration policy. Hello? Here's a perfectly rational statement. You ready? Perfectly rational. All immigration should come through legal channels. You can't say that today. If you say that, they run around with their hair on fire, with their arms waving up in the air, screaming that you hate Mexicans and you're a racist and you don't care and you have no sense of humanity, blah, 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 blah. You know what? People who are perfectly rational, perfectly moderate, that could go either way. These people could go either way. They went against Trump in 2016 and they're like, oh, I can't wait to vote for them. Because you're lumping them in to all of these categories. To take America first does not make you a xenophobe. To say immigration should be legal does not make you a hater. Everybody's a homophobe or misogynist or blah, 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 blah. Hey, you just keep doing that and you can assure that we're going to have President Trump for 4 more years. Democrats, are you listening? The formula is not hard.
for me, it's the greatest thing. I have an aunt who raised Democrat, lived her whole life as a Democrat. 3-4 years ago, was a avid Bernie Sanders supporter. Loved Bernie Sanders, would do anything for him. The moment that it all came out that the Democrat primary was rigged for Hillary, she burned her Democrat voter card, and she is the most outspoken person, and she's not supporting Trump in any way, but just anti-Democrat party, because they are, you know, in her eyes, they are corrupt, they are crooked, they have lost their way. She doesn't know, and she's doing soul searching, thinking, have I been wrong all these years? I mean, that's what they're doing to people.
Wow. For all their flaws on all sides of the aisle, they need to stop pretending that the flaws exist only on the other side of the aisle. It is so blatant. It's so obvious. I had this conversation with this family member over the holidays, and he didn't understand that Benghazi was controversy. It's like, well, they did all these, you know, investigations and nothing. I'm like, that's because there's nothing to bring out. I mean, we already know the facts. The people are dead, and it's responsibility that people didn't respond, and those people didn't tell the truth about it. So the facts are right out there. It's just that the people on the left want to believe that you're pearly white. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Clinton is pearly white. And I'm like, no, it's because the reason it's controversial is because nobody was held accountable. And I don't know about you, Hunter, but I didn't say, I'm sorry, it was the wrong call. We distributed misinformation. It's like, there's corruption on both sides. And was that your aunt?
That was my aunt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's right now we're being fed the line of one side is corrupt and one side is crooked. When mm-hmm. you know, I go back in my lifetime and I can sit here and point out flaws in every president we've had in my lifetime and go, there are things they could have done better. There are things they could have handled better. There's, you know, there's decisions they made that could have been different and probably more beneficial long term. But we bypass all of that to point at one current president who is an outsider to the establishment and blame everything on that.
Yeah. Just quickly before we go to break, this is Brent DeHart with Hunter. Dave Bourne is on vacation this week. I'm going through my advice to Democrats about how to win in 2020. I am giving it, and I'm quite sure they will not take my advice. So the last thing on my list, it goes on and on, but stop listening to your far left wing and the people who are zero carbon now people. Set goals, but don't. It's like in Oregon here, in Oregon, with the pipeline. Well, we shouldn't be burning natural gas. We should stop it right now. So let's not put the pipeline in and let's not help the Oregon economy. Well, you know what? Those people, those end users, they're going to be burning natural gas. The question is, are they going to be burning Oregon and North American natural gas? Are they going to be natural gas from Mexico or Argentina or China or wherever they get it? They're going to burn it anyway. But why should you cripple our state's opportunity to have economic development because you think it should go to zero today? Stop listening to the far, far left and have the courage to marginalize people like AOC. You need to marginalize them. You need to have the courage. You need to have some Nancy Pelosi courage that says it's not about Twitter feed. It's, you know, it's votes on the floor. All right, we got to take a quick break. We do have a guest later on in the hour. We're going to talk about the docs in a special broadcast we have this afternoon. We're going to continue along this line and some of the things that are happening right after this break. Stick with us. I'm Brent DeHart with Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Hey, and welcome back, everyone. This is Brent DeHart as we are winding up our 2019 here on Newsmakers. It's been an honor to be able to speak with you and all of our guests throughout this year. I'm here. Dave Bourne is off this week. So I am giving my end of year advice to the Democrats. Advice to the Democrats. If you are just joining us, it's a pretty simple recipe. Run a person for president who says they're going to take the best interest of Americans first in every decision they make. You saw it happen in 2016. You don't have to make it up. It is that simple. My problem that I see with the people who are up on the podium is they're, oh, well, refugees should get free health care at the expense of the taxpayer, right? Maybe you disagree with that public policy. You need to stop calling that person a xenophobe and a hater. Right? So stop calling everyone names that isn't from the far left and say what's best for Americans is how I'm going to run the country. Last thing, we haven't talked about this hour. How about you admit the things that are going well? I know it's kind of taboo in politics, but there's a reason why they sent a person. And Hunter, I read an article, and I apologize to everyone that I'm not able to cite the source. It was a Washington Post. It was a New York Times, something like that. And it basically said they polled all these people and talked to the Trump voters, and they did not think he was all that trustworthy. They didn't particularly like him, but they voted for him to be the president. Okay? So stop trying to convince them, that he's not very trustworthy and he's not very likable. They don't care. They want a person who's going to say they're going to take the interests of Americans first, and he's willing to be hated by a good portion of America in order to do that. So this is the politics as usual, the middle finger to America that I was talking about last segment, is this is why they're doing it. Figure out why the 53 million people voted to send this person you view as wholly unqualified to America, to Washington. Well, why? It's because they hate you. Because they hate you. They don't like the way you do things. How about starting as a statesman? Let's start. What's going well? Hunter, let's count them. How about ISIS? You know what they focused on? He says ISIS is decimated. We've destroyed ISIS. And they say, oh, no, they still exist. He's lying. He's lying. He's exaggerating. That's not true. Fact check that. Like, okay, shall we get a world map and see how much square footage and square miles of the world is controlled by ISIS, controlled, taxed, governed by ISIS on the day that Obama left the White House? Let's do that. And let's put a map up that says, this is the territory controlled by ISIS today. Yeah. It's a good thing, people. This is a good thing. And you know what? ISIS did not control any of that territory when Obama took office. That's a whole nother story. How about the economy? How about the unemployment rate amongst everyone in every ethnic group? How about things are going well, right? How about we don't have any terrorist attacks on our soil? Things that are going well, say, oh, I think Trump is doing a decent job steering the economy. But I think moving forward, and I could do this and tell us you're going to be better and why. I particularly like, this is one of my favorites, 60 years after we, more than that, 70 years after World War II, really, we're paying the lion's share of security for NATO and for South Korea. And he's upsetting the apple cart and reaching into France and Germany's pocket and stuff, and they're not happy, and it's making them mad. And I'm like, well, good. And now 3 years later, are we taxpayers in America paying less for NATO security or more for NATO security? Is he pushing them to pay for their own security so that the American taxpayer and the American economy doesn't have to? What part of this you don't get? Oh, he's making them mad. He's making them mad, but he's doing the work for on behalf of Americans. It's like, you see that? It's the same thing with the ISIS. It's like you're focusing on, oh, well, he's making people mad, or he didn't tell the truth. And it's not entirely true that ISIS isn't completely gone, because there's still people into ISIS and there's still ISIS fight. You're missing the whole point, people. It's an accomplishment. And I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Trump doesn't make it, maybe make a better, bigger deal about it. That's what I would do. People who care about international relations and the accomplishments of the administration.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How many of these countries that are having to put more into NATO have pulled out and said, we're not willing to spend a little more to be a part of this? How many?
I don't know.
I would guess zero.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said, here it is. We're not going to keep footing the bill for everybody. So you got to contribute more. And they might not be happy about it, but guess what? They're contributing because they know they need to be a part of it and have these alliances with these countries to be prosper and keep moving forward.
The program today is a lot. I didn't expect to talk this long, but it's a lot about explaining to Democrats how to win in 2020. Anybody up in the podium, just give me a call. Call us here at the station. It's Brent DeHart in Salem, Oregon on KYKN. 1430, and I'll tell you how to win the presidency. Yeah, all you have to do, you know, Biden, Warren, just give me guys. I almost feel sorry for Biden, because he's like, hey, all you people that are way, way left, America is not with you, and they're roasting him. I mean, you have somebody who at least talks rationally, you know, and he's like, you can't win a presidential election that far left, and they just roast him, which gets back to have the courage to marginalize the last 5% of your party, of your political spectrum. You need to marginalize them, because you know what? They're the last 5%. The more you cater to AOC and her crew, then the fewer people that are on board with you. So I've said many, many a time, it's the independents that are going to win or lose this election. And what you're doing by calling everybody names and assuming everybody who supports Trump, because you hate him so much that everybody who supports him is going to vote for him, is a racist, misogynist, xenophobe, homophobe, a hater, right? You're driving the moderates to him. You should stop. Okay? You should stop and figure out why people voted for them. All right. They hate you, I said. And by you, I mean Washington and how you do business and how you do politics. They elected a person who wasn't afraid to have people mad at him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just watch his personality, I've got friends who think that he's a Russian puppet. I'm like, what part of Trump's personality makes you think that he would be a puppet to anyone? I mean, are you watching him? All right. Douse the fire on your hair. Put your arms out of the air. Figure out why it is that people voted for them, and then make them vote for you. Top of the page. Everything circles back to the top of the page, Hunter. Run a person who's going to take the best interest of Americans first, not the Chinese economy, not the how South Korea feels about the president. He doesn't care. He cares about the American taxpayer, and he also cares about the South Korean security because that's important to the Americans, right? You get it? All right. We've got a guest coming up. We're going to talk about the Ducks. We're going to talk about a special show we have on tonight. It's very exciting. My Golden Bears are on in just a quick 15 to 30 minutes. So I've got that recording, and it was a heck of a weekend for football. But we're going to go from presidential politics and the world according to Brent and talk a little bit with Joey Mack, actually. We're going to get Joey Mack on the line, and he's going to tell us about the show tonight and how we can prepare for that incredible event, the Rose Bowl, coming right up after this.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart joining us on the line today. Of course, we're all getting excited about the new year and what comes with the new year, but the bowl games. So we have on the line joining us from the Oregon broadcasting is Joey Mack. Joey, you hear us?
It's always fun to talk with you guys. I hope that Dave is doing well. I know that he got a little bit of work done. I hope that everything's going good for Dave. Always fun to talk with you guys.
Well, you as well. Thanks for being here. It must be a fun week for you. Do you have, like, one of the greatest jobs ever?
Oh, no doubt about that. I have to pinch myself frequently. You know, it's funny. I was traveling really early this morning because we had a men's basketball game last night that the Ducks won. And so I just got down to Los Angeles today, and I was thinking about how, you know, I'm on the 4 a.m. Or I'm in the airport line at 4 a.m. And I thought, boy, you know, I got here so fast. There's no security, and there's no one on the road, and then the con is that you're up at 4 a.m., but then immediately you have to pinch yourself and kind of go, yeah, but you're up at 4 a.m. to fly down to the Rose Bowl, and you get to do that as a job. It's really a paid hobby. I'm pretty fortunate to get to do what I do. It's a lot of fun.
So real quick, why don't you explain to everybody who hasn't heard you on the air, because you do broadcast a couple of sports, right? Basketball, obviously, and baseball as well.
Yeah, I started out doing just baseball when I graduated from Oregon. Jerry Allen saw something. I still don't know what. He still won't tell me what it was. He saw something in me when I was in school. And so I started doing baseball, and now this is my third year doing Oregon basketball. And then I'm on the sidelines for football, helping with the pregame and the postgame show, running around on the sideline. And not near as good looking as the ones that you see on television, hence the face for radio.
Oh, I see.
But that's what I've been doing. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely... It's definitely something new. I like that I get a chance to work with all these different teams, and then with my daily show, Duck Insider, it's a lot of fun talking with even some of the, for lack of a better phrase, non-revenue sports. You know, you get to talk about a lot of other cool student-athlete stories, which is always fun.
That is cool. And some of those sports are really interesting. I've got some great student-athletes and great stories in the conference and the nationwide, and they don't get a lot of press. So I'm glad you're there with the Duck Insider. Tell us a little bit about what's going on tonight right here on KYKN.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Our bowl special, you can hear it in Salem on KYKN and then across the Oregon Sports Network as well. We're going to do it live from a local bar. It's actually school-themed, which I find really ironic but also really funny that you've got a bar that their whole theme is food and beer education. So their happy hour is called Recess from 3 to 7. It's at Public School 213. Down in downtown Los Angeles, right near where the Ducks are staying for this Rose Bowl game. 6 to 7 o'clock tonight, myself, Jerry Allen, Mike Jorgensen. We'll have a lot of fun. Tons of interviews and content to preview the granddaddy of them all. It's our bowl special from 6 to 7. And one special guest that we're going to have, which we're all really excited about, is longtime Oregon running backs coach Gary Campbell. He retired when the staff change was made a few years ago, has still been a big supporter of the program, and Don Pelham may disagree with this, but I think that he is the best dressed man in college football of any era. So I'm hoping that people get a kick out of talking with Gary Campbell tonight. We're going to have him on the show, talk about what he's been up to, how proud he is of this Duck team and what they've done so far. And still some unfinished business for sure, but it's going to be fun. 6-7 tonight for our bowl special.
We're talking to Joey Mack of the Oregon, what do I call you? The Oregon Athletic Department, Oregon Broadcasting Team, really. You're the operations coordinator for all the broadcasts for Oregon, right?
I like to call myself Radio Schmuck. Introduce myself that way a lot because I like you. I was like, what do I call myself? Broadcaster, operations, whatever. And I finally realized that if you just introduce yourself as Joey Mack, Radio Schmuck, people tend to remember you a lot better. And like I said, face for radio. So that's what I've always gone with as a self-depreciating joke. And so far it's worked.
I think we'll call you the Oregon Radio Schmuck.
Deal. I'm sold. I like it.
University of Oregon Radio Schmuck, Joey Mack. And tonight here on KYKN throughout the entire Oregon Duck Network, you'll be able to hear a special show having to do with the upcoming Rose Bowl. And you'll have special guests and yourself. And I love how you, did you make this plan? How is it that you're sitting there at a bar?
Well, I actually can't take credit for that. That's actually our coordinating producer, Matt McCumsey, and the general manager of the Oregon Sports Network, Chris Bjork, who found the place, worked with them. That's where I get to say that it's above my pay grade. But I guess the guys above my pay grade enjoy a nice cold one just like I do.
And are you allowed to do that? Well, during the hour, should we expect the hour to get more and more entertaining as it goes on?
Well, I hope the hour gets more and more entertaining, but not because of the lubrication. I'll put it that way. No, it's funny you bring that up because we've always joked about that. Like I've always said, you know, when we do shows at different restaurants, I always say, hey, have one for the broadcaster. And people always are like, well, you can have one. I'm like, no, unfortunately, that's against the rules.
It sometimes doesn't go too well. All right, so are you guys going to preview the game? And I don't want you to give away too much here on the show, but I assume you're going to analyze and preview how you think the different elements of Oregon football is going to stack up against the Badgers.
Yeah, that'll be a big part of it. You know, we'll kind of look back at the season a little bit, talk about what the Ducks have been up to since they got down here. Jerry and Georgie have been with the team down in L.A. and in Pasadena since Christmas Day when the Ducks actually flew down here. So they'll have some good stories to tell from what the Ducks have been up to. There's just a lot of pomp and circumstance around this game, and it's a good thing. You know, the Ducks get a chance to go to Disneyland and have a little fun with that. There's a lot of community service in addition to preparing for what is a big-time game for this Oregon team. And we'll talk a lot about how Oregon matches up with Wisconsin. I think that it's going to be a really entertaining football game. I mean, there's nothing like the Rose Bowl. I mean, for Oregon fans, the Ducks have been in 4 of the last 11 Rose Bowls, which is really just remarkable considering where Oregon was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And when they made it to that 95 Rose Bowl game, it was just such a magical moment for the program. But now you think about that the Ducks have been in nearly half of the games in the last decade. That's pretty amazing, and it's quite the run that they're on. And we're going to talk about that. Jerry and I actually put together some Rose Bowl history to kind of talk about. And, you know, one of those games to look back on is the 2012 Rose Bowl that was against Wisconsin. There's a lot of similarities between this Wisconsin team and the 2012 Wisconsin team that Oregon faced. So it's going to be fun to kind of look back at it and then talk about some of the keys to the game, and we always defer to Georgie on that. Former Duck quarterback Mike Jorgensen, he's the best in the business. I'll tell you what, for 30 years he's been the analyst on the Oregon Sports Network, and you know I've learned a lot about football from Georgie. I mean, he just played at a high level. He's such a student of the game, and I think the keys to the game, you know, I'll put it this way, he's usually right on with his keys to the game. I often see his keys come to fruition over the course of a football game.
We're talking to Joey Mack, and he's the Oregon radio schmuck, also has a daily talk show, Duck Insider. let me give you a little Rose Bowl history. I don't know if you want to share it with your audience, but I'll share it with you, because I'm a Golden Bear. So I'm glad the Ducks are in the Rose Bowl, if it's not going to be the Golden Bears. Last time the Golden Bears were the Rose Bowl, and you mentioned 95, there was a long, long drought for the Ducks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last time the Golden Bears were in the Rose Bowl was 1959. Of the pack, 8, 10, 12, it is the school that has the longest drought. So
yeah,
the University of California Golden Bears.
You and I have a lot in common then, because my cousin is actually a diehard Cal Golden Bear fan. And he has always said that he'd give his arm and a leg to get down to the Rose Bowl when the Golden Bears are back in the Rose Bowl. I've got a soft spot for the Golden Bears as well, especially, you know, there's a lot of overlap, obviously, with Oregon now. Justin Wilcox, the head coach, and Steve Greatwood, who was the longtime offensive line coach at Oregon, is now at Cal. He's retiring after their bowl game. And I know they're kicking things off here, probably right around now, right, in the Red Box Bowl. They're coming up in just a little while. That should be an interesting matchup. That's kind of funny that you say that. I've always enjoyed watching Cal football, and I think that Justin Wilcox got them moving in the right direction.
I agree. So what's going to happen, being in Cal history, what's going to happen is Justin Wilcox would be hired by a bigger program with a lot bigger paycheck, and that's typically what happens to Cal. If you can make Cal a really good football team, you must be an outstanding coach, so we're going to hire you away. It was funny. There was my duck friends, you know, when we went into the era of the BCS and we're going to the national championship, and they want to get to the national championship game. And in a certain way, it almost downplayed the historical significance and importance of the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is incredible. And you get to stand on the sidelines on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, no, I actually 100% agree with you. You know, Rob Mullins, the Oregon athletic director, has called that the college football playoff effect when I've talked to him about that. It, you know, the Rose Bowl is so special. I mean, there's a reason it's the granddaddy of them all, and there's nothing like spending New Year's Day in Pasadena. You know, I'll never forget the first Rose Bowl that I worked with Jerry Allen. He said it perfectly. He was like, there's just nothing like going on the air right at noon. It's always 65 degrees and sunny, and you see the sun coming up on the San Gabriel Mountains from the press box. And I mean, just the way Jerry describes it, it is a picturesque scene, and it is special. You know, I think every team wants to be playing for a national championship. Oregon has set that standard. You know, Rob Mullins has said they want to compete for Pac-12 championships and national championships in every sport, and it all starts with football. That's the economic driver. We all know that. And with what's happening right now around college sports, it's just amazing that the consolation prize is playing in the Rose Bowl since the Ducks aren't in the college football playoff. It's amazing and still a heck of an accomplishment. I mean, for a second-year head coach in Mario Cristobal to have the Ducks in this position to be able to play for a Rose Bowl championship, that still means a whole heck of a lot. And this senior class that's been through more adversity than most senior classes around the country, it's a cool opportunity for them to finish their career on a good note.
Yeah, I think it's exciting and terrific. I think I know for we Golden Bear fans, we'd rather go to the Rose Bowl than the national championship because we've just never been. We're talking to Joey Mack. He's going to have a special here on KYKN tonight, and it's at 6, right? It's an hour-long special. And where else can they listen to it if they're not in front of their radio? Can they stream this?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that we've got for fans will be on the TuneIn through the Oregon Sports Network, also through GoDucks.com. Click on the live audio link when you hit the media drop-down. Also, GoDucks.com/live audio will get you there. And if you have your smartphone, GoDucks.com has a game day app as well. You can listen through our app as well. I do want to
thank
point
you,
out,
Joey
though,
Mack. We got to go. They're going to. Okay. Thanks for being with us. Good luck in the Rose Bowl.
All right. Thanks.
Lynn Fenton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.